Hello and welcome back to another episode of Binge List and Box Office Hits, the podcast about all things film, TV and streaming, with your host, Shannon Holiday, and me, Letitia Thomas.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Binge Lists and Box Office Hits, the podcast about all things film, TV and streaming. I am your host, Shannon Holiday, and I am joined at the decks with Letitia Thomas. How are we doing this afternoon, Letitia?
Well, we've had some coffee, so we're pepped up.
We are really pepped up. I had a triple shot.
I mean, you say that. How pepped am I?
You seem doubly pepped.
Do I?
Yeah, you had a double shot.
Yeah.
You were like, I'm not going to have the triple. I will be vibrating off this planet.
Yeah, my insides are pulled out of my body.
Yeah. You already go to the bathroom enough, so we don't want to make this worse.
Like 3 liters of water today.
That's good. That's staying hydrated is really good. At 1 p.m. That's very nice. On this Sunday afternoon that we usually record on.
It is Father's Day.
So it is. Happy Father's Day.
If you talk to your dad, wish him happy Father's Day. If you don't, I'm here with you, kids.
I support all of you. Yeah. Yes. No, yeah. Happy Father's Day to all the ones out there that are still incommunicado.
Brutal.
Moving on. How's your week been so far?
Yep. It's been a week. It's been busy. It's been pretty normal. Put it back.
I will. I had a bit of a week away from home this week.
You did?
I did. I had a work function, a bit of a conference down on the Gold Coast. So right after we recorded and I edited the podcast, I had to zip on down to the Gold Coast from here, and we had a big work conference at one of the convention halls. So it was like a convention. It was pretty cool. Went for 3 days, lots of talking. So I was happy to come home afterwards and kind of just isolate for a day or two. So I did have those days off work because it was extra hours down on the Gold Coast. So it's been a bit of a time. Didn't really get too much time to watch much while I was down there. So what I've been watching this week is very limited. Obviously, most of it's kind of compacted into the topic that we'll go through later. Mm-hmm. But I did start the second season of The Rings of Power, which is the Amazon series based on Lord of the Rings.
I did have a hunch you might be watching some TV because you weren't watching many movies. And I'm like, this man has to be watching something.
He has to be doing something with his time. No, so I started the I like Rings of Power season one, which is about a year and a half or 2 years ago that the first season came out, and it's supposed to be like the most expensive TV show ever made or something like that. I think Amazon's pumped in a lot of money to it, and yeah, I like the first. It's set well before. It's like 1,000 years before the Lord of the Rings kind of takes place, the Hobbit and all that. It's set during the Second Age of Middle Earth. If anyone who's an absolute Lord of the Rings nerd will know what that means. And yeah, the second season started off, it's about the rise of Sauron and the creation of the Great Rings that kind of starts this journey that happens with the main books essentially later on down the track. And yeah, so I've watched the first episode so far, and it's 8 episodes. They've released 3 at once to kind of get you hooked in, and then it'll be week to week after that. Good. I'm going to continue it before we get to Shogun and some other things.
I look forward to you continuing it. Yeah, I haven't really been watching much TV. Yeah, mostly just movies. I stopped watching Bluey. I was like, mentally, you need to stop. Something else needs to happen.
You need to distract yourself from how easy it is to watch this show.
Yeah, that's pretty much been it. I watched a few movies. I watched Death Becomes Her.
Oh, you finally
did? I've been meaning to watch it forever. I bought it like God knows how long ago. And then
it's wacky.
Didn't watch it, meant to be watching it. And then it's been referenced a lot at the moment because of Sabrina Carpenter's music video.
I've seen it, yeah.
And I was like, well, now is the time to watch the film before I see so many memes that it's ruined for me.
Yeah, they're remaking it too.
Of course they are.
Yeah. But that music really video was quite funny, but it does have homage to that movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed Death Becomes Her. It's so weird.
It's very strange, right? Like, also, it's not what you expect to see from it.
Definitely put...
Is it Goldie Hawn and Meryl Streep?
Goldie Hawn and Meryl Streep. Bruce Willis. And Bruce Willis. He needs to be in more comedies, man. He was so good in that.
It's going to happen now.
Yeah, well, like, look.
He's, I know. His motor functions isn't working anymore.
Yeah, poor bugger. But yeah. Goldie Hawn, she's not really in anything anymore.
No. No, she kind of took a step back once, I guess. Kate kind of star to become prominent, I guess, because Kate Hudson's obviously her daughter. And she kind of rose to prominence and Goldie Hawn just kind of went away.
Which is kind of sad, but yeah.
Is she in Stripes? Was that the movie she was in, like the war one?
Oh, might have been. I watched a version of that when...
I haven't seen it, but I was like, that's the big one she was in, right?
I wasn't too young, but I was too young to have watched it in the sense that Mum borrowed it from Grandma for us to watch, forgetting what was in it. She goes, I think Grandma's forgotten what's in this. Let's not tell her.
Let's put it on.
I don't know if I watched the uncut version.
I didn't know there was two versions. Or not, yeah. It's an 80s film. It's going to be pretty tame.
It was pretty good.
By today's standards, I think.
There were definitely, I was like that awkward teenage.
Like you're watching Showgirls or something.
No, but it was that awkward teenage age where you understood when things were like a bit sexual and stuff, but also you didn't want your parents to know that you understood what you were watching. So you were just like.
The absolute communication through no communication is very, very strong.
No, it wasn't. It was PJ Souls.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know who she is.
Interesting.
She was in it.
I'll have to look up later what the one that Goldie Hawn was in. She was in
Overboard.
Yeah, maybe with that's Kurt Russell. It. That might be it. Yeah. Interesting. She's done a lot of stuff in the early 80s. I remember that. And then Kate Hudson's done How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and Fool's Gold.
That's pretty much it.
And also Glass Onion.
Yes, actually, she was great in that.
She was good in that.
I also watched...
And Almost Famous. We can't not mention that.
I've not seen it.
Really?
No.
That would be a cult classic. So look out for next week when we do our cult classics.
Oh, wait, no. No, I have seen it. I was thinking of something else. I've definitely seen Almost Famous. Yeah. I watched Truman Show.
I wanted to ask you about it because I saw your letterbox and I was like, oh, fantastic. You've watched Truman Show and you haven't seen it. And I waited till now to talk to you about it because I didn't want to... you know, to have that discussion before recording. Tell me about it. What do you thought?
It's undeniably genius.
Mm.
But I was just like, oh, yeah.
Do you think you heard too many...
I knew too much about it before I seen it.
Too much about it and also overhyped maybe?
I don't think it was the fact that it was overhyped. I think it was just the fact that I know so much about it that going to watch it...
There's no like surprise.
There's no surprise. Yeah. It was all just there on the page, so to say.
Yeah.
But like I'd seen all the stills from it. I knew what the concept was.
Standing on the stairwell before leaving.
Like literally
waving.
Knew the ending. Yeah. So watching it play out, while it was very good, it didn't have the same effect on me, which I was sad
That's
about.
That's disappointing. I think it's Jim Carrey's probably one of his best works besides Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind. They're his two, in my opinion, best films and not comedy.
No.
When he does drama,
it's
I'm
sort
like,
of similar with
great.
Sandler.
Yeah.
Like his drama. Like
and Uncut Gems?
Yeah. I have not seen.
Intense.
I do need to watch.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah. So I watched that one. What else did I watch this week? That's not part of the topic. Oh, I watched Mermaids. The Cher, Winona Ryder, and...
I have not heard of this.
Really?
Tell me more.
Oh, I think it's like a cult, like sort of a culty one. It's... who's the
kid? All I'm thinking of is... Was it H2O? Just that water?
No, it's got Christina Ricci,
Aquamarine water,
Winona Ryder, and Cher.
I never heard of it. No.
Oh, it's like it's almost a Lady Bird for the generation of the time. So it's very
coming of age.
Coming of age.
Yeah.
Very much. Cher's this like hussy. She's just always like got different men around town. Her older daughter's Winona Ryder, who's like a devout Catholic. She's found religion, and she's like, I'm going to be a Catholic, and I'm going to do little right things. And Cher's like. Okay, like you can do what you want, but we're not religious. Like we're Jewish, so like what are you doing? And then it's like Christina Ricci is like the little girl, like the baby sister, who's just like a swimmer. Like that's like her thing. She's just always in the bath, like trying to see how long she can hold her breath. And it's just this messy coming of age film. It's very, very good. Doesn't age well in some regards.
Yes. What year was it from?
1990.
Okay.
So Winona Ryder's character's like, 16 and she hooks up with a 26-year-old and everyone just acts like that's not...
Not weird?
Weird?
Yeah.
But ignoring that fact, or at least acknowledging it and then moving on to enjoy a film, it's very good.
Where did you see it?
One of your many streaming services, probably Stan.
Probably not MGM.
Probably the one you're about to cancel. I just bullied Shannon into cancelling all his subscriptions.
No, thank you, because I would have forgotten for another month to cancel.
I thought you had, right? And I went to like watch a movie and I was like, why can I still log in?
No, I forgot straight after the Olympics, I forgot to cancel Stan because we had it for the Olympics.
You've got a couple of days left. No, okay, I'll watch whatever it is I have to watch. And then
I completely blanked to actually turn it off. So I said to Ben, I was like, oh, well, we can watch the Paralympics now. Because we got another month of it. So as of today, I've cancelled Stan, I've cancelled Shudder, I've cancelled MGM, I've cancelled Paramount Plus. And now I've still got the other one. So I've still got Disney, Netflix, and Amazon Prime. And that's it. That's enough, I think.
It's definitely more than enough. There's so many rooms.
Well, the thing is, and if only we were making money, I could definitely use this as a tax write-off for having all these. But also, it's just so convenient having them when you, like every week we've got a different set of movies to watch, right? Or a variable genre or something, a director. It's so easy to have all of them because you just go, okay, I can see their entire catalog. I've got all the streaming services. What's really annoying,
when you pay for it,
when we've got all the streaming services and there's like one film not on anything, and I'm like, what do I have to do here?
What am I paying for?
Then I go to Amazon and I'm like, can you rent it? And it's usually like $2.99. I'm like, do I really want to watch this film for $2.99? Just sometimes for the it's yes, sometimes no. This is for you guys.
It's all for you.
Putting a lot of money into this just for you guys kids. To have a review. But not anymore.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's been my week. That's what I've been watching. Yeah. And then
once I got back from the coast and I was up home with a bit more time, I did watch a lot of films from 1997.
Yes.
To add into this conversation when we get to it. I already had a lot anyway. We could have probably just honestly gone through it without adding anything. But it's a 90s. When I say I want 90s vibes, I was so glad you're like, yeah, let's do a best and worst of each of our birthdays.
Yeah, because I figured, you know.
I was like, it's 97. Let's
what
do
else
it.
Was released that year? Except for
you.
Me from a womb.
That's why we're doing it. So hold tight when we get to nearly one of our last episodes. We're doing 89.
There's a lot that I haven't seen, but then there's also a lot that I like seen or like have been meaning to watch, but just didn't get around to it this week. Because let's be honest, we watch so much all the time.
Yeah, and we've got a lot. We're like future-proofing ourselves for one of the Emmys weeks, so there's a lot of stuff to watch there with like TV shows, so that's taking up a little bit. I know it's a little bit your time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard. So this week was a bit of a, oh, I've got probably enough on the list that I can go through. It was easier for me because I guess I existed in the world for a few more years, so I could at least
appreciate and
watch some of these when I was like a bit younger.
Well, growing up and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was easier for me to kind of go through and go, well, oh, I saw this when I was like, I was young. Yeah. I've seen it and I remember it. It's a bit different.
I'm like, I've heard of all of these and I've yet to get around.
to all of them, yeah. So I'm looking forward to getting into it, which I think we're ready.
Yeah, I mean, nothing else is happening.
No, we've had a bit of a quiet week.
I've been busy, but like in just it's boring nothing, ways.
It's like, oh, I worked.
Yeah.
No one wants to hear that.
No.
Hopefully some exciting adventures in the next couple of weeks. It is heating up here like crazy.
Oh, my God.
So this is the last weekend of winter, and apparently it's like averaging 32 to 35 degrees in Brisbane. So we're going to start going to the beach and having beach adventures soon.
Yes, please.
Damn well the weather for it.
Yes, please. I'm pale. I'm so pale.
You're still like just as tanned as me, and I went in the sun yesterday.
Yeah, look.
You would go very brown.
I found photos of me as a kid recently. Oh. You want to see it right now?
Right now while we're on.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, why not? I'll keep talking. I do go quite brown as well. It's in my heritage. So at least I'm not one of those people that like looks at the sun and is instantly pink.
Yeah, gross.
Or peels. It takes a bit for me to peel as well.
Such a dumb
I feel like this needs to go on your like our binge list story. People need to see
it's
that.
It's a sad photo. Here's me and my dog.
Oh, cutie. It's bigger than you nearly then.
I know, right?
Alrighty, let's get into the topic this week of best and worst of 1997. Now, why are we doing this episode, Tish?
I was born in...
You were born
late
in...
early September 1997.
Exactly. We're doing a birthday best and worst of the year you were born.
I thought, why not?
I thought this is a pretty good collective week, collective year of movies, essentially.
Not bad.
Some strong ones. Oh, I've got a funny story.
Oh, God.
You did the same thing as you, kind of. I went and put a movie on. I was finishing off the Lego I had before I left and came back and finished it off. Put a movie on, and I thought it was from 97. I'm like, cool. I'm doing a little bit of homework here, and you know, I'm taking it in. It's something I wanted to see. I put on Dead Poets Society because I was like, yeah, that's in the list. When I brought up the list, I was like, it's 1989. So, I prepared myself for the one when we do my birthday.
I didn't remember. I was like, oh.
You're like, why did you watch Dead Poets Society? I'm like, there was a reason.
Getting real far ahead, Jesse.
I thought it was 97, but it's much, much older than that. So, from this year, I guess if we start from the top and kind of work our way down the list, Good Will Hunting.
Robin Williams. I've seen it. I've seen it only once. It's my friend's favorite film.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brittany's favorite. Shout out to Brittany. Having fun in Europe right now.
Oh, jealous.
It's her favorite film. I bought her a copy.
It's a genius film. It's a very heartfelt film. It's a coming of age film.
It is.
Any film where like Robin Williams is like the father figure, it's just so touching because he's so good at it. It's incredible. So that's what reminded me of like Dead Poets Society. I was like, oh yeah, Good Will Hunting. It's a very similar type of character that he plays.
Good old The Boys wrote this.
Yeah, the Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, because they've been good friends since they were kids.
I didn't know they'd written this at the time.
They got the Oscar for it.
I know, but when I watched the film, I didn't realize.
Oh, no, me neither. I didn't know they wrote it. But I guess that's why they were so into their own characters, because they basically made them up themselves. For anyone not aware, playing at home, it's like Matt Damon's this math genius who's essentially just a run-of-the-mill janitor, because that's the background that he comes from. He's a very blue-collared worker, family and stuff. And I think Robin Williams plays like a therapist slash teacher at the school they're at.
Yeah.
And he identifies that he's got this in him, within him, he can be something if he wants to be it. And that's the whole point of this film is, depending on your background, as long as you push yourself, you can do anything. Because then you've got Ben Affleck's character, who is not a genius, but he also comes from the same background as Matt Damon, who's like, if I had your opportunity, I would run with it. So he's like, you don't stay here with me. Push yourself out into the world and be this thing that you can. And it's obviously a journey over 2.5 hours or something.
Yeah.
But it's a really well-made film, really heartfelt, great film. That's why it's the top of the year, I guess.
It's gorgeous, yeah.
Yeah.
Titanic?
Yes.
1997, baby.
So I think I've mentioned this maybe at the end of last year's podcast, where I had a bit of the tism about how much I loved Titanic as a kid.
Oh yeah, I forgot about this.
So I had like a model that I made. I had all these books about the Titanic. I knew all the different facts about like the berthing rooms and like how many like engines and that and stuff. I knew pretty much every single fun fact about the Titanic.
I have a question. Did you watch the, like, it's a related slightly, the Raise the Titanic?
I have seen that.
Yeah, my great uncle did that film.
That was in the 80s, wasn't it?
He did like the models and all the special effects for it.
So that was apparently,
I've not seen it, but you have.
They made that film obviously before this Titanic, and it was before they found out that the boat itself broke into two parts. So they hadn't discovered it on the seafloor yet, right? So that's why they just, in the movie, it's just sitting in the floor intact. So when they raise it, it just still floats. It's as if it never was on the seafloor. It just floats as if it was just under the water. Anyway, I have seen it.
Interesting. I didn't know nothing about the Titanic.
Yeah.
I've seen the film once.
I think it was based on seeing this film that I kind of went down that rabbit hole. So I went and saw this at cinema, which was incredible. It's one of those things you just have to see. So like the making of this is so full on. The scope is huge. Like James Cameron, he knows how to make a large scope film. Watched this in the cinema and then I kind of just got hooked, right? Like I was just, this thing I want to know more about. This is like one of the first situations where I was like exposed to a sex scene.
It's a steamy one.
It is. The one in the car with the hand comes down the window and I would have been 7.
Wow. I was a teenager when I saw this.
Yeah.
So I'd never seen it. And I asked one of my friends when we were kids, I said, what's the Titanic about? Because she'd seen it. And she goes, it's about an unsinkable ship that sinks. And I went, sounds boring.
It's good though.
So I didn't watch it until I was like probably a late teenager.
Yeah.
I don't know how I found it. And I watched it and I was like, oh my God, this is fantastic.
It's fantastic.
Which I wasn't really into romance-y stuff at the time, but I was like, hang on.
Yeah. Cinema. And like, the romantic relationship between Jack and Rose is the centerpiece of this story. But for me, it was just like this voyage, this maiden voyage of this ship, which was quoted as the unsinkable ship. And then hitting the iceberg and just like the practical effects of how like sink it and then break it in two. Mm-hmm. And then it was just so impressive for 1997.
What's your take on the whole,
being on the, the doorway
there? I feel like we have to talk about it.
Yeah. I think they could have fit.
I think so.
I think they both could have fit. Whether or not Jack would have still died is another thing, but she didn't even ask.
Here's the thing though. She didn't ask. He didn't ask. I'm sorry. I know you want to be a man.
He was being a man until he died because of it.
Yeah, like climb on, mate.
Just try. If just, it doesn't, then she can just stay on. Like at least give it a go.
Give it a go.
Like, give it a crack.
Have you ever tried to get on it, stand on a boogie board? Yeah. It's hard, it's but hard, you can give it a go.
But you can do it.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, if he was on top on the board as well, they probably could have shared like body heat and probably both could have survived because she almost died as well just laying on top, right?
I know.
Like she was well, like even frosty on top.
Winslet
until she
got hypothermia.
Yeah.
Thank you for
committing
Thanks,
to the
Cameron.
Role.
I don't think it was her choice.
No, I don't think so either. I think that was a misfire from Cameron having the board as big as it was.
Yeah, the door.
But I think the intention was it was only enough room for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, well, you didn't
Props.
Pick one.
What are you
yeah,
doing?
Yeah. Cut the size of the prop in half. But, yeah, I thought it was an impressive. You don't feel the 3-hour runtime. I think there's always something happening. And obviously, it's got a larger theme of classism and stuff like
that. It's actually like a genius story.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a simple premise, but done
so well. So well.
I should rewatch it. My sister's never seen it.
I'll try and pick it up. I think they've got a Blu-ray version. I'm waiting for the surely they'll do a 4K soon. I'm
surprised they haven't.
Yeah, right. It's one of those films you're like, yeah, release that in 4K. Like,
but maybe they're like, we'll put it in cinemas again. We'll boost it up.
We've got to get into that, fourth place?
30 years. Come on, we're waiting.
Yeah, exactly. James Cameron's like running out of money. Not.
He's got to fund the next Avatar.
Avatar 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
He's got
and
Disney
seven.
Money. He's
all
right.
He's fine. The next one's Princess Mononoke, and we have spoken about that in a couple of weeks ago.
I'm
not going to go into detail about that. It's the bigger scope one of Miyazaki, so I won't go through that too much. Have you seen Boogie Nights?
Yeah, man. I've got Boogie Nights. Got a copy of it at home.
It's good, right?
I really liked it.
Mm. Mm. I think it's a genius concept of like – this family existing within the porn industry in LA.
I mean, it's just the whole found family.
That's exactly right. And that's what I really appreciated about it is like they're not family. They're just, you know, a found family, like you said, and what they would do for each other. And obviously it's always Dirk Diggler's journey through life.
What a name.
Good old Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
I love Julianne Moore in this. She's
great. She's a great actress
in
anything.
So good.
Though.
I feel like she's almost underrated now.
She's under...
Like she was overrated
days.
And now they're just like, it's like
no,
we're
she's
back
fantastic.
In cinema.
What's that other movie? Still Alice, I think.
Oh.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard watch it.
I've got a copy.
Good.
Every time I watch it, I'm such a mess. It is one of the most beautiful films I've ever seen, but just.
It's heartbreaker.
Yeah. It's based on a true story of like a woman that gets early onset dementia. And it is
that's heart wrenching. That is.
But it's the way that they tell that story is so beautiful. But anyway.
Back to Boogie Nights.
Back to Boogie Nights.
Is it Paul Anderson? Paul W. Anderson?
Who? P.T. Anderson.
P.T. Anderson.
Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yes. He's the one who directed this film. I think he did a standout job. I want to pick this one up, actually. I thought it was incredibly well done and fun. It's just a fun film.
I'm looking at the Letterboxd reviews and there's someone that I know within like the film community and like, yeah. They write a bunch of stuff and I don't want to name names, but they've given it 1 star. And I love looking at their ratings for things because some things they rate very highly and then some arguably good films. It's like 1 star. I'm like, what do you want out of films, dude?
Yeah. Like even if you don't like the subject matter, was it a well-crafted film? Therefore, it should be more than a 1 star.
Anyway, yeah, just fascinating
but that, like, yeah.
thoughts on that.
Yeah. Everything's always subjective, right? There's a scene at the end of Boogie Nights where Dirk Diggler's like at his lowest point, right?
Yeah.
And I think he's doing drugs and dealing drugs and stuff. And he goes into that house with that guy and he's just unhinged. And it's the villain from Spider-Man 2, Dr. Octopus, the actor from that. He's very young. He's just absolutely unhinged. I forget his name though.
I can't think.
I'll have to look it up later. But Alfred Molina. You'll know his face.
It's been a while since I've seen
it. It's one of his first films. He's very young, but
Boogie Nights.
I was like, oh, whoa, Jesus.
Whoa.
Wow. Men in Black.
Not seen it.
You've not seen
Men in Black? Not seen it. Thought about watching it this week.
I have a tough love for this
series. I've
seen
bits of. Like, I know the vibes and stuff.
I think I like the first one the best. It has such a strong, like, early 2000s sci-fi vibe to it. Obviously, it's Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith as the two agents in the Men in Black secret agency.
Yep.
And they deal with, like, UFO encounters on Earth. And there's already aliens living here and they're they deal with them like refugees, essentially.
I didn't know about that when I was – like when I first heard of Men in Black, I thought it was simply spy stuff. And then I'd seen a couple of scenes and I was like
– why is there an alien?
Okay.
It's very early CGI as well. Yes. So it's it hasn't dated amazingly well, but it has created a franchise based from this movie.
And you know what? Good for them.
Yeah. Good for them. Delfino? You know Delfino who's
Nope.
Oh, Vincent D'Onofrio. I don't know how to say his name. He's in a bunch of stuff. You'll know him if you see him. He's the villain in this.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. He does stuff to his face and you can't recognize it's him. And I was like, oh, he's incredible. He's probably the standard. He's the villain in this is him. The second one was average. I haven't seen the third one. And then they did a spin-off series recently with Chris Hemsworth, the Men in Black International.
Oh, yeah. Listen, some things just should be kept as like one and done.
They were going to do another spin-off and they were going to do a crossover series with the 21 Jump Street boys. They were going to do a Men in Black cross 21 Jump Street crossover movie. I'm kind of glad they didn't because...
Yeah, it would ruin both, I think.
Yeah, it would. Like, stay in your lane, Men in Black. People do love it. That's fine. But yeah. I also love the 21 Jump Street movies and we'll I feel like seeing those together would be so
weird. The twain shall not cross.
Exactly. Exactly. Hercules.
I
animated.
Love. I don't love this film. I've only seen it like a couple times. I love Greek myths, so I love it. But I had a CD, like a Discman that I was given when I went to visit family overseas when I was like a little kid.
Mm.
And I hadn't seen like most of the Disney movies that were featured on it because I wasn't a Disney kid.
No.
But they had I Won't Say I'm in Love on this. And oh my God, did my sister and I play that
over and over again.
To the point that when I was watching the movie, I was like, yes, I know every word.
I know this already. I'm ready to go.
No concept of words.
No context.
But I do love this film, the way that they did it with all of the like the frieze and stuff on the jars and how they're like part of the chorus, which is like very Greek mythology play. But like, I just think genius, but like, it's not my favorite Disney film, but I don't think I have a favorite Disney film.
No, it's 90s Disney. So there's a few in there. Everyone remembers like the 90s Disney era. For me, for Hercules, it's not so much the movie, right? Around the same time, there was a computer game called Kingdom Hearts.
Yes.
So that series started around that time, I think in 2000. And what it is, it's basically like Final Fantasy characters. So these really animated characters visiting the worlds of Disney characters. And I remember distinctly in the first game, Sora, who's the main character, the anime character, visits with Donald and Goofy. Hercules is like level, which is like the Colosseum. And you still interact with Danny DeVito's character.
The Colosseum.
That's what they call that level.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, because that's...
I know.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, but they call that level the Colosseum. Okay, cool. Yeah, because you verse a lot of the enemies from that movie in there.
Oh, okay. In...
Like the... Hades.
The Hydra.
That's it. The Hydra was that one of the big boss as well as Hades.
Oh, wait. Is that... Are you thinking Cerberus?
Cerberus was there.
I'm like, I don't know which
one. All three of them were there. You verse them. So, yeah, and you interact a lot with, Danny DeVito's character as like the trainer as well. So you do all these training montages with him. And that's how I remember it more than the actual movie. But I have seen the movie.
He's not Chiron, is he?
He's a little goat thing.
No, he's...
forget the name of it.
I can't pronounce that right now.
Yeah. Anyway, it's fun, but yet again, not my favorite either. I think something like Aladdin would probably trump it.
I don't think I have a favorite Disney.
Yeah, neither really.
Probably the closest thing I have to it would be like Mary Poppins because that was my kid's Disney film.
Yeah.
But that's not quite classified.
You're a musical person. You're a musical baby.
It's sad sometimes.
Sound Music, Mary Poppins, stuff like that.
That's all I was given.
Yeah, that's all I had. Mine was like Toy Story and first Harry Potter, things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else we got? Did you end up watching Jackie Brown? Because
no,
I did not.
I had an opportunity to, but then I was like, it's a 2.5 hour one. I will watch it in my own time.
That's my problem with this week is often I had time to watch stuff, but I didn't have 2.5 hours.
A lot of these are 2.5 hour films. It seems like the 90s were just like...
Let's
run them long. But also like the pacing...
Slow.
It was slower, but well done.
Yeah.
Like something about 90s films where they knew the pacing and got it right, right? Like a few of them, like I've obviously seen before, but the ones I did watch this week, I was like, the pacing is incredible. Mm-hmm. And yes, they are like slightly long in the tooth, but I didn't really feel it. Like when I watched, we'll get to it later, but like Face Off's 2 hours 20, I think. And that's a balls to wall movie. We'll get to that later. So no, I haven't watched Jackie Brown. It's the last Tarantino I need to watch. I've seen all the others, even these written ones.
I've seen most, but not all of Tarantino.
Yeah. Just Jackie Brown, I haven't really had a chance to yet. This would have been a good week, but we'll get to that.
Good old Pam Grier.
Scream 2.
Have seen it. Don't remember it, but I've seen it.
It's got that iconic opening where they're at the movie theater. He goes to the bathroom and gets stabbed. Good old Ghostface comes back and sits next to her and then stabs her. The whole time she walks up the front and dies at the front of the movie theater. It's the one set in college. Sydney's at college. Sydney is at college now. And it's like a college-based one.
I vaguely remember the, a lot of them.
Team of the town of Woodsboro.
Yeah.
I like the second one, but I love the Scream series in general.
I know.
Like
you're so into them. I mean, I look, fair, they're good.
They are good, even though now I guess it's really off the rails.
Well, yeah, because they've brought Nev Campbell back.
Yeah. Let's see what actually happens with that seventh one.
Don't have Jenna. They don't have Melissa.
Nope. Both the girls from the new revival version are gone.
It's going to be interesting.
Should be interesting. But the first three, which was like satire of the slasher genre.
Yeah.
Now it's like satire of the originals, which is, you know what I mean? It's like so layered now. It's so far gone. I still like them. But yeah, the originals are so good.
The Game.
We love The Game.
I love The Game.
We love The Game. What was the quote from?
I'm Michael Douglas.
I'm Michael Douglas.
This is like The Game. Yeah. I'm Michael Douglas.
Now you're like, I get that reference. I get that reference. Fincher, right? Fincher.
Yeah.
We did watch that for a previous week. I did watch this when I was younger. So I think I was like 10 or something when I watched
this.
What
a trip for a 10-year-old.
I watched a few films where I was like, probably not like, I wouldn't say inappropriate, but I'm not mature enough to take in what is happening in this film. Because I remembered moments of it when we rewatched it. And I was like, yeah, I remember that part. I remember him falling through the glass at the end. And then I watched it again. I'm like, oh, I can actually take in like the stakes. I get the stakes of why he's doing this. And I loved it. I was thriving on this film watching it again.
Yeah, the pacing. Perfect.
Yet again, pacing was fantastic. Fifth Element?
My cousin worked on this.
Really?
Yeah, so I watched this as a teenager. And I think it was a twofold reason. I think it was partly because I'd seen Hayley Williams dress up as her from it. And I was like, what is this reference? And then looked into it, realized my cousin had worked on it, which I haven't actually spoken to him about this one.
You should.
Yeah.
It's a wild ride.
I loved it in a weird way. I kind of want to watch it
so
again.
Crazy. Yeah.
But it's the Luc Besson.
Luc Besson's done a few of them. Very French.
Interesting.
Very
films.
French film this.
They made up a whole language.
Yep, yep.
Like the amount of work that went into this film is
incredible.
Insane. And it's a gorgeous sci-fi.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. It's a very standout sci-fi. It's very distinct.
Very vibe. 90s, it feels.
Very 90s. Milo Jokovic does an incredible job.
Being multi-pass.
Like the multi-pass. Yeah. Being like a fish out of a water kind of situation.
Yeah, because isn't she like just born?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's kind of like, there's like a prophecy or something that she's involved with. Gary Oldman's there being the villain for some reason. I've got to rewatch it, but it's incredible.
The dude with the hair?
Chris Tucker?
Yeah.
Chris Tucker? He's like super camp.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like a famous person in it or something. He's like a singer.
Yeah.
And he's wild in this. Because he would have just came off the back of Rush Hour or Rush Hour 2
at
the time.
That's what he,
there. He's from, you know, Lee?
Crazy. If anyone hasn't seen this, do yourself a favor. It is a wild ride.
It is intense, but it is crazy. Have you seen LA Confidential?
No.
I was going to pick between last night, I was going to pick that or Face Off.
Okay.
But I picked Face Off for a reason, and we'll get to that. And Ben, I was like, Ben, I'm going to pick Face Off because I think you'll appreciate it because he was doing work on the table. He was cackling just as much as me. So it was a good choice to watch Face Off instead.
I really wanted to watch it, but I just ran out of time last night. Grandma was over.
You'll see
out
why I appreciate it when you get a chance. Jurassic Park 2, The Lost World.
I have seen it.
It's a lot darker
than
the first one.
Like, no.
It's got Julianne Moore, Vince Vaughn, Jeff Goldblum.
Interesting.
It's got all them in it.
I remember watching the Jurassic Park films when I was really little because family friends had them and they loved them.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember watching them, loving it. Yep. But I think I only ever saw them like maybe once. But we used to like play Jurassic Park. Like that's how much we were into it. But I think I'd only seen them once. and I've maybe only seen the first one again since. I haven't got into the Jurassic Worlds.
Did you see they recently just announced the fourth Jurassic World? Yeah,
Scarlett Johansson and old mate who's been in a bunch of stuff that I can't think
Mahershala of. Mahershala Ali or whatever his name is.
That's not the guy I'm thinking of.
He's in it.
I'm thinking of the white man that they've cast.
I don't know his name. There's a few big name actors, but I'm like, is it too far gone?
Yeah,
I just, is this franchise done only because you've written it into a corner, not because like the
idea is gone.
The idea is fine. It's dinosaurs. You can do a lot.
But
with
I'm
it.
Not a big dinosaurs kid. I think it's because I just don't understand enough about them.
The first couple,
but then also just like can't comprehend time enough to be like they're real.
No,
I know they are. Like I'm not saying that they're like
the fact that millions of years ago. We didn't exist, but then these big giant creatures were roaming around eating each other.
And then people don't want to believe that aliens are real. Like, come on, people.
Yeah.
Like, what? The world is so confusing when you really get into it.
Yeah. The fact that it's millions, millions, millions of years, it's like, what do you mean?
I've got a work friend that's studying paleontology and stuff right now. And she'll just be like, oh, yeah, I've just done this. And she'll show you, like, a timeline of the world, like Earth.
Oh, yeah. And how, and like the continents actually move around.
Oh, Pangaea.
All the continents have.
I know, Pangaea, the one that was together was called Pangaea.
Oh, was it? I didn't know that name.
I'm smart. I've been to school.
This one's smart. She's going to be a doctor.
No, but I need a good one. So if anyone knows one, let me know.
If anyone knows one. This one was definitely a lot darker than Jurassic Park 1. Yeah, it's hard to say because I think this is my least favorite out of the original trilogy. I like the third one because it's silly and camp again, like the first one. And the stakes are, like, not as high. Yet again, it's a get from column A to column B. Mm-hmm. There's that whole thing where he has a dream sequence about the Velociraptor on the actual helicopter. And it goes, Alan. It's a whole meme. Look it up. It's, go Velociraptor, Alan meme on YouTube.
My favorite.
You'll have a very good time.
Bit of Jurassic Park that I remember from being a kid. And this is the first one because sorry, but. Was when old mate goes back to the car and the little guy.
Oh yeah. And he squirts at the guy Newman from Seinfeld.
Who sucks. Yeah, that was like iconic as a kid. Burned into my little brain.
I need to watch that film again. The first one's incredible. Second one's it's fine. Like it's serviceable. It's okay. Like it definitely expands the lore of the Jurassic world, so to speak. And yeah, but it was just a lot darker. A lot more people died. There was a whole sequence at the end of the film where they take one of the T-Rex back to
one
of the cities and there's a T-Rex just running through the city eating people. It gets a bit wild.
Why are we doing this? Come on. This is a bad idea.
Come on, guys. There's a few other ones that before we blast through to Face Off. Did you see Gattaca?
I didn't. I wanted to see it. Couldn't find it.
I want to watch it too. There was not on anything. This is the one where Uma Thurman and Ethan Hawke kind of get together. And they have children.
Pretty much, like almost immediately after.
Yeah. They're both in this. Yep. It's a sci-fi film as well.
I've wanted to watch this for a long time, even before I was interested in them as a couple.
Yeah.
To then make fascinating artist children. But, you know.
Yeah, there's two of them. The second one's in Blink Twice. I didn't realize till the credits rolled.
Yeah, well, like, because there's cool.
The boy.
Maya and Levin. And then, they've got other kids. He's got other kids, I think. I don't know.
There's a separation.
Not famous. It's not my business.
Starship Troopers, I wanted to watch this because there's the whole, yet again, it's another meme. It's like a satirical sci-fi film and there's a whole meme of like, I'm doing my part.
Oh, okay.
that's where that's from.
Right.
Yeah, I wanted to watch that. The Devil's Advocate, which is what Keanu Reeves chose over doing Speed 2.
Probably a good choice, let's be real.
Yeah, when I get to Speed 2, yes, I watched that this week. Yeah.
We will get to Speed 2.
Oh boy.
Holy Jesus.
Oh boy.
Anastasia. This was big in my childhood. Anastasia, I think again.
Is it Rasputin?
Yeah. It was one that I saw like we didn't own it, but I'd seen it on probably someone else had it,
I think.
Like Foxtel, I think, is where I saw it. And it was just burnt. It was one of those films that you watch as a kid and they're just like there's something about it that you can't forget. Like it almost haunts you in a weird way.
Because it's
and that was this one.
It's a darker take on
holy crap! Is it dark
on like a
on
just a cartoon? It's cemented in real life as well. Anastasia actually died, like the real one. They were all brutally murdered.
That weird little bat thing.
What's his batty? It's not batty. It's something like
Batty's from
Fern Gully. I know. Yeah, No, Anastasia was fantastic because there is an element of real life, but also it's like a fable as if she did get away.
Yeah, it's God, I loved it so brutal. Much. Kirsten Dunst, isn't it?
She's in a few voice actress.
Oh my God, it's Christopher Lloyd as Rasputin. Of course. It's beautiful. Bernadette Peters.
Fantastic.
Oh my God, this cast is stacked.
I thought this was a Disney kind of situation. No. I know it's not. It's like an independent studio who made it.
Yeah, but it has that sort of.
It's very well done. Well especially remembered. At the end with like the green kind of smoke when Rasputin's like versing them.
That's what I remember. Terrifying. Yeah, terrifying. I was probably like 4 when I saw it.
Yeah, I think I was pretty young too. Like only a couple of years after it came out. So I would have been like 10 or 11, maybe. When I saw it last.
Yeah, old enough to not be traumatized.
Yeah, exactly. It's a full-on great animated movie. Now we're getting on to Face Off.
I have not seen. Face
Off. I did this all last night.
Because you would have been insufferable.
Well, yeah. There's a whole... Like, this is the height of Nicolas Cage at his Cage-isms.
Yeah.
And John Travolta as John Travolta at his... Absolutely unhinged as well.
Yeah, Scientology probably got high up at this point.
It's incredible. It's such a funny movie, but I don't think it's intentionally made that way. Although it is at the same time, because there's a like Nicolas Cage is playing this really bad villain, right? And he's hamming it up the Nick Cage style that he does. And John Travolta's playing like the cop, like they're trying to catch each other. Basically, Nick Cage shoots his kid, so he's chasing after him. They capture him, but they need to know where they put the bomb, right? There's a bomb in LA they have to find before it goes off. So the only way, absolutely the only way they can find out where the bomb is if he talks to his brother, but he's in a coma. So they decide to swap faces. The concept is ridiculous, and it plays into that pretty heavily. Like, it knows what it is. So they swap faces, and then essentially the actors are playing each other. So it's like a Freaky Friday kind of situation.
Still have not seen either of them.
No. And then watching John Travolta try and do Nick Cage-isms and then vice versa, it's I just had a blast watching this. It is so much fun. It's a John Woo film who's done a lot of actually pretty prestige movies from like the 90s and stuff.
Yeah, the name is super familiar, but
MI2, he's done Broken Arrow, Silent Night, Face Off, Killer. He's done a bunch of stuff in China and Vietnam as well that are really well known for action movies.
Yep.
So, yeah, he's a pedigree at what he does. And just this was just incredible. I had such a good time. Check it out. Austin Powers. Now, we were going to do a series on this, an whole episode on Austin Powers.
And guess what? I still haven't seen it.
No, because we, yeah, and that's why we haven't done one, because I'd have to make you watch 3 of them. I love it.
I did want to, but again, there's like... Yeah. Tons of movies from 97 and I had a few days.
We had a few days and there's literally 6,969 films apparently released, but there's probably only about 1,000 that are actually worthy talking about. Austin Powers, it's obviously a satire of like the early 60s British kind of secret agent movies. Mm-hmm. It's one of the ones where Michael Myers is playing a role in multiple roles that he usually does because he plays himself as well as Dr. Evil. And in the sequels, he plays other characters as well on top of that. But this first one, it's just really well done. It's just goofy British super agent.
It was like quoted my whole life.
Yeah, it's hard because it's like a 60s character, but he gets frozen and then put into the 90s. So he's a character stuck out of time.
Right.
That's why it's like he doesn't make sense being where like it's he fit really well in the 60s. Like, he was, like, you know, going to all these clubs. Everyone loved him. He had, like, what would kids call Riz these days. And then, yeah, he's frozen because apparently Dr. Evil's gone off into space. And he's frozen until he comes back. And he comes back in the 90s, so which is when this was made. So, he's a fish out of water. Nothing makes sense to him anymore. He doesn't know why people aren't, like, you know, sexually appealed to him anymore. Like,
okay, this status. Is making... More sense to
me. Yeah, it's got Elizabeth Hurley as like his offside a secret agent as well. And she plays a great role of like going, it's not like this pat on the head kind of situation.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's a comedy. It's goofy, but it's starts off, it's fun. It's good. Highly recommend it. And then obviously there's the sequel, The Spy That Shagged Me.
Yep.
And then Gold Member. Instead of Goldfinger, like the actual James Bond one.
Oh, no, I caught that. Yep.
Yeah, just in case. Alrighty, Liar Liar. Jim Carrey's probably one of his best in his comedic
Do you think I've seen it?
Roles.
No, sir, I have not.
I love this film. The concept's simple. So he's a lawyer who's really good at the gift of the gab. He lies all the time. Even in his personal life, he's, you know, manipulated, lies a lot. And his kid wishes on his birthday that his dad would just not lie for one day. And the wish comes true. So he literally can't physically lie. Like, it's a magical thing that happens to him, and he can't lie. And just watching Jim Carrey go through all these kind of like comedic situations where he's used to doing it a certain way, but he can't. He physically can't lie anymore. He has to work his way around it. And through that, he becomes a better person. He grows stronger to his kid. It's a good film. It's a good, fun, heartfelt film.
I like the concept.
The concept's great.
I don't think I'd ever looked into it. It's when I had Jim Carrey, Lila.
You're like, yeah, whatever. It's just going to be one of his silly films. But it is, but it is more.
I think it just, one of those ones you didn't. No one had said this is the plot, so I just went, what's the point of watching it, you know?
Yeah, it's one of those ones I'd probably just sit down and watch for fun again. It's been a while since I've watched it, actually, so yeah. Batman and Robin. Have you watched any of the original Batmans? No, because you said you hadn't seen Batman 1, which we have to watch for 89.
Yep, no, I haven't.
And then I was like, watch Batman Returns. It's super sexual. And then you've got Batman Forever.
Like, superheroes weren't big in my house as a kid. No. Like, at all. They'd talk about, whatever. Like, Arnie Jill's ex worked on them. I'd be like, okay, cool. He worked on some films.
Doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't mean anything to me. And, like, I didn't really get into superheroes until Avengers came out.
Yeah.
But it just weren't big in my household. Movies weren't really big in my household.
No, it wasn't until later.
There was, like, you know.
Musicals.
The kids' movies I had and stuff. Then, but it wasn't like.
That's why a lot of these, you're like, I'm catching up. Like, yes, it was 97 when I was born, but I'm seeing them later.
It wasn't big in my house, and like I didn't have a computer with the internet growing up, so I couldn't exactly. Like, we couldn't just go watch things. So it was literally so much catching up in the last 10 or so years.
I think up until I was about nearly 18, I like to see films, you'd go down to the local video store and hire them out. Like, and DVDs didn't come around till after this, after 2000.
Yeah.
So it was all VHS, baby.
All VHS.
All VHS. This is the weakest one of the series. It's the fourth one in the original Batman series. It starred George Clooney as Batman, in particular, Bruce Wayne. And he was so worried that it was such a bad film, he thought he ruined his career. He thought he ruined Batman for the thing forever. It's pretty cringe. It's got Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze, Uma Thurman as Poison Ivy.
Like, I've definitely seen bits from, just haven't sat down with it.
There's a scene in particular I will always remember. Like, it's etched in my brain. He's Batman's at like a gala, right? And he turns up and is like, he has to pay for something. He's like, I never leave the Batcave without my Bat card. And he pulls out like a MasterCard and it's like a Bat card. It's so cringe but funny.
But do you know how many like little nerds have made their bank card a Bat
100%, card? 100%. Yeah. 100%. It's very funny. Next one is
I Know What You Did Last Summer.
I Know What You Did Last Summer.
I watched this in high school, in class.
I only watched this like 2 years ago. I went to watch it when I was about 11, but I got scared, so I went to bed.
It is scary.
The Hookman.
Hookman.
This one doesn't have the great payoff like Scream does.
No.
But it's a slasher, so you're still along for the ride. I still had a really good time. Still got Miss Sarah Michelle Gellar getting absolutely butchered.
Yep.
I'm all for it. It's great. Have you seen the sequels?
I've seen some.
There's like I Still Know What You Did Last Summer, which is like the one directly from this, and then there's like a DVD sequel, which is crap.
Definitely seen some of them. I can't recall.
They're also doing a reboot.
Yeah, I know. What aren't they rebooting? You know they're not rebooting? My Best Friend's Wedding.
They don't need to.
I like this.
I haven't seen it.
I watched it like last year or something.
Yeah. This is the one I get mixed up with Runaway Bride or something. I think in my head, they're the same film.
This
but
is
I know
one of those ones
not.
That it's like, it's good, but then it's also 90s. So it's like.
Yeah. It's also misogynistic, cringe, all that jazz.
Like a little bit, but a little bit just like, just is what it is.
Yeah.
But Julia Roberts in a rom-com, I mean.
Yeah, I will check it out because
I'm
pretty sure.
Have you seen Pretty Woman yet?
No. That's the one my parents are like, how have you not seen this? I'm like, well, yet again, I've seen 200 films this year. I've
watched that with mum when I was an awkward age to be watching it with mum. Right. I love it so much.
Well, those themes are a little bit more, you know, adult than
it's
My
like,
Best Friend's Wedding.
I'm understanding all the jokes, but you don't know that I understand all the jokes. So I must just stonewall it.
Let's not laugh. Because then you might have to get me out like, oh, so you understand that. Yep. Let's not have that conversation.
I can quote a lot of it. Moving on, I haven't seen Gummo.
No,
but I have
heard of it.
The other one with with Chloe Sevigny. Kids. I've seen Kids, which is the same director.
I was going to ask you
about. And that's pretty messed up too.
Is it? Because I want to watch it. Is it worth seeing?
It's a cult classic.
Yeah, so I might have to watch it for cult classic.
Definitely worth watching. It's just one of those ones where like she said, like Chloe Sevigny said, like at the time we didn't think it was a big deal to make.
Because it's got Rosara Dawson.
Yeah, too, but you watch it as an adult.
And you're like, oh, and it's confronting.
Like,
yeah.
Well, they were just like, they're young kids. Yeah. They all were sleeping around with each other and they all got like AIDS.
Yeah, I knew that was the thing.
And they're kids having sex. It's just an awkward.
Yeah.
Kind
it's,
of
it's, full an, on. It's a full-on concept.
Full-on because they're quite young in it.
Yeah. I think they were, 16, 17?
Yeah. Well, they were older to act, but, the characters themselves were really young. Yeah. It's just one of those things where it's like, why was it made? But, not in a bad way, but it's just, it's so controversial.
It's a story.
Topic.
It's a reality of what happens in real life. Yeah. It's a reflection of our reality, which is, that's why it's confronting, I guess.
It's one of those films.
Yeah. Alien Resurrection.
Maybe I watched that this week.
Same.
Wow.
Wow, what a ride.
Not the worst one, though, I think.
No, 3 years.
Yeah.
Sorry, Fincher again.
He
had a rough time, but he was also coked up, so.
Do I not say it?
He was also super coked up.
I've heard from him. That's also he was coked up.
Coked up. You heard it here first. I had, it knew it was silly.
It did. It
By this point, it was.
It was silly, but also the guy who made it, have you seen his other films?
Yeah,
like I did. Emily and stuff?
Yeah, he was like, why was I asked to do an alien film?
Yeah, and he
Emily Delicatessen and the City of
Lost Children, which I've not seen, but I've seen scenes from those in uni, and you're like, oh my God, like he's really into his body horror.
Which is that last scene?
Where
it goes through the glass container?
Yuck, yeah.
Yeah, yuck.
And then when you see like what they'd done to Ripley when they'd like her other clones.
Oh, yeah, that was body horror, wasn't it? Yeah. And she's like, kill me,
Yeah, kill her, please.
Yeah, that was intense. But I liked it for that reason.
Yeah.
I actually didn't mind this one overall.
There are parts of it that I really appreciated. Like I understand why it's not the first or the second one.
Oh, it's not even the same pedigree. But if it, for its own thing,
it did.
It was pretty good.
It took it, I guess, where it had to be at this point.
For a 90s film, for where the franchise was at that point after the third one.
Yeah.
Which was critically panned. No one liked it. It was just grim, dark, unfun. This one needed to be this.
I was watching this and there was a point where I went, there's always like a robot.
Yes.
And then I forgot about that. I was like, oh, maybe they're just not doing that this time.
And then
and then it comes up and I was like, yes.
I completely blanked about the robot that's been in every one in every film of these Alien series. And then it's told to you and you're like, oh my God, how did I not see that coming?
How
right?
they did this one though, where they like humanized it so many years later where it go. Yeah, I really liked it.
Like 200 years after the events of 1, 2, 3, basically.
1, 2, 3, yeah. And I really liked this. Like, obviously it's not the best.
No.
I wouldn't. Maybe rewatch it soon.
I'd watch it over the third one any day, but it's not even in the same league as 1 and 2. Like, those are just incredible. What Ridley Scott did for the first one in the atmospheric horror, and then in Aliens, the second one, what James Cameron did for, like, basically thriller action.
Yeah.
Incredible.
They're stunning films.
It's so good. Yeah, wild. Contact. We obviously spoke about Contact. Event Horizon.
I've not seen it.
I bought it. I bought it on 4K, and I have briefly mentioned it before. This is the one that it's similar to Alien, and where it's like a sci-fi horror film, but it was butchered in editing.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate because there is such a fantastic film here. You can see it, and you can see they probably did film it, but it just doesn't come out on screen. I still had a good time, but there's something better inside it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
It's a shame.
I wanted to watch a couple that I didn't get to. I wanted to watch As Good As It Gets with Jack Nicholson. And I wanted to watch Lolita because it's such a
I've heard about it. I need to see it. Yeah.
Of film, but it just wasn't on streaming. So
it's not on anything.
I did not get to it this week.
No. So they're the two that I haven't seen either. I have seen Con Air. It's another classic Nick Cage film. It's actually one of his better ones.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I would strongly suggest it's got John Malkovich in it as well. Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic action film. If you like Face Off, you're going to love Con Air. There's Rumi and Michelle's high school reunion.
I have seen that. I liked it.
I liked it too. It's simple.
Simple. Yeah, not simple. My favorite of those kind of films.
It's got Lisa Kudrow out of Friends in it. And I was like, oh, one of them are doing other things besides Friends. I remember that at the time. And yeah, it was that. It was fine.
It's a great concept of like your 10-year reunion and you're still you.
You haven't changed. Like, you haven't had growth, whereas everyone else around you have.
Yeah.
It's a great concept. Air Force One. Oh.
There's like 90% of these films in the next
list. Get off my plane. It's just an angry Harrison Ford as the president.
So it's just Harrison Ford.
It's just Harrison Ford versus Gary Oldman again as a villain. It's really good. I would watch this time and time again. It's just Air Force One. It's basically a terrorist movie taking place on a plane. Obviously, we had 007, Tomorrow Never Dies. So this one took place after GoldenEye. For me, GoldenEye is like one of the pedigree ones. It came out with the game. I was obsessed with the game. This one came out afterwards, and it was only like a PS1 game. It wasn't a Nintendo 64 game that came with it. So I was like, I don't care.
Fair.
For me, I don't care. But then the third one came out with a 64 game. So I was like, I'm back on board, baby. So I only watched this one much later in my 007 watching.
I've seen so little.
It's a Pierce Brosnan one. So they're actually pretty strong. They're not bad. It's no Daniel Craig, but, you know, it's in the old school style where it's like a bit like, ooh, I'm always wearing suits and stuff. Yeah, suave. Rather than gritty like the Daniel Craig ones. Flubber, Christ.
I have seen this maybe twice because we had Disney Channel as a kid at my dad's place. I don't remember much of it. I remember maybe liking it. I mean, it's Robin Williams, so he's, I love him, but I don't remember
film. I hated the film.
Fair.
It's Flubber. I know when it's Flubber. You've told me 20 times.
I think I just chose to like it.
It's a kid's film. Yeah. It's a young kid's film. It's the concept is he creates this new kind of like organism that it's self-aware of itself. It's someone tries to steal the idea of it and he's got to protect it.
Oh, is that what it is? Like, I don't remember what
it is. Yeah. We used to have, whenever we went on bus trips as a school, we'd have like a little VHS player and a TV up in the top corner for the bus. We only had one VHS, so Flubber it was, and the amount of times I've seen it,
that makes
I'm done with Flubber. I'll just say that. Anaconda?
Haven't seen. There's so many I haven't seen, dude.
Anaconda. So for me, I love Anaconda. They're remaking it again. I'm so sick of their remakes, but they're pretty much anything 90s, they love to do it. It's really fun. It's got Owen Wilson, Ice Cube, J-Lo in it. It's just a really bizarre cast, and it's literally just about these just group of people going down.
Right?
It's they're going down. I forget which river it is. They're in somewhere.
Somewhere that's got anacondas.
And yet again, this giant anaconda just like basically just, it's like Jaws, right? Yeah. Like it just chases after them and kills them one by one, and there's a massive set piece at the end where they have to blow it up, and it's kind of incredible at the same time. It spawned a couple of sequels, but the first one's obviously the best one. Chasing Amy, I haven't seen. It's in that whole Mallrats universe.
Yep.
But I haven't seen many of them besides Mallrats, I've got to be honest. I kind of want to with Clerks 2, Clerks 3 and all that as well, but I haven't seen it.
No. I watched Kiss the Girls this week.
Yeah, okay.
It's based on the John Grisham books. Look, it was not that great. I've seen other ones that are based on Grisham.
Is
like
it
around
a thriller?
Yeah, it's like a murder mystery.
Kind of similar to A Time to Kill? Like as grounded as that or?
No, it was a bit silly.
Okay.
I don't know. I didn't like it that much.
I've been meaning to watch it, but I haven't. Obviously, there's Spawn. Haven't seen Spawn. Breakdown, though. I do want to talk about Breakdown because they just released that again on Blu-ray and I kind of remember it from my childhood and I kind of love it.
Okay, like I've got no idea.
Oh my God. It's Kurt Russell and he breaks down with his wife.
Oh.
And this person comes and helps him, right? And the wife goes back with this person to get help. And she goes missing because he gets a lift back to the gas station.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, no, never seen anyone. And it kind of was like that, were you even here kind of situation. He starts questioning, he's like, where am I and stuff. And it just goes on this absolute down the track of who's involved and like, is the whole town involved even? And I kind of love it because I kind of watched it when I was like 8.
Yeah.
I thought it was way more intense when I was an 8-year-old and I watched it again recently and I'm like, oh, it's pretty tame. Like it's.
Yeah, but 8-year-old brain.
But also 9. Like 90s. Yeah. It's. Yeah. 8-year-old brain. I was like, oh, this is full on. Oh my God. There's people shooting at each other. Oh, there's explosions.
That is full on for 8.
Yeah. And you watch it now and you're like, oh, it's fun. And I still like it, but yeah, it's pretty tame. Who's doing what? Dante's Peak. This was the volcano of. Volcano films that year?
Yep, haven't seen it.
This is one I would probably go, write it down at some point. I'm not saying write it maybe even in the next 6 months, but make sure you get to watch Dante's Peak at some point. It's got Linda Hamilton and Pierce Brosnan again.
Interesting.
And it's about
such a 90s dude. Like
he really is, isn't he? He's still doing movies.
He's still doing movies.
He's a lot more distinguished now than he was back then. Yeah, and that's pretty much it. I've got one more film to talk about.
You know which one I'm sad that I have not seen?
What?
Spice World. Never seen it.
I have, but I don't remember a thing about it.
I was such a baby when they were big that I missed the whole boat. I was more a Nikki Webster kid by the time it came around to me.
So for me, whenever the holidays rolled around and my parents had to work, usually 1 out of the 2 weeks I had to go to what was called vacation care.
Yep.
It was just at school and you just basically just played games or did whatever you want. Someone was just looking after you. They put one of the movies on when we were there and that was Spice World. So I've seen it, but I cannot remember a single thing about it. I think it was just based on them releasing an album and going on a world tour.
Yeah.
It was to coincide with a CD release, I think, and they just made a film about it as well.
I'm just sad because it was such an iconic thing to so many people, and I'm like, I wish I was kind of
a part of it.
A part of that, yeah.
It was a bizarre time. I remember when the Spice Girls were huge. And then they kind of just went away.
Yeah.
They broke up.
I watched In and Out, which is such a 90s film. Holy crap.
Tell me about that.
So I bought this one actually for my friend, my good friend Harry, as a joke because it's a gay film and it's called In and Out and it was like a dollar at work and I was like, I must buy it for him.
I have to get this.
It's a weirdly like, oh my God, it's just so bizarre. It's directed by Frank Oz. Now we know him, the Muppet guy.
But also he is Yoda.
Also
the
is
voice,
he?
Yeah.
Interesting. Did not know. It's Kevin Kline and Joan Cusack and Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck.
And basically, Joan Cusack's character and Kevin Kline's character are about to get married.
Yeah.
And sort of while they're sort of about to get married, one of the kids who was taught by Kevin Kline is in Hollywood and he just won an Academy Award and it was for a gay film. And he's like, and shout out to my high school teacher, Mr. Brackett, who's gay. And he's like, and everyone's like, what? And
just didn't know it.
Mr. Brackett's like, what? No, I'm not. And then it's all his kids who are about to graduate as well. Like, being like, huh?
Huh?
Hang on. Oh, but he does this and he does that. So maybe he is. And it's this discovery that he goes on to realize, oh, I am gay.
Yeah, yeah.
And why didn't I see it now? Joan Cusack has an absolute breakdown because she waited for him.
Oh no.
And like she just, he was the first guy that like really like noticed her and she's like, and now you don't even want to be with me. And he sort of announces like at their wedding, it's a conservative town.
Yeah.
It ends up being like everyone gets behind him and it's really heartfelt, but it's just like could only have been made
in
1997. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's one of those ones where it's like fun to watch now, but in a nostalgic, this is of a time.
Oh, that was
way.
Of a time. That's not now.
Yeah. So weird.
That's so just bizarre. It sounds funny.
Yeah. It's actually very good.
Yeah. Last one for me is Speed 2. We've finally gotten to the, you know, the best and worst of 97. We've gotten to one of the worst.
Oh my God. Yeah, we have.
Absolute critical bomb. One of the biggest flops ever made.
Thanks for making me watch this one, Shannon.
You're welcome.
I watched this a couple years ago. I was sick. And I
talked about Speed 2 Cruise Control with you.
And I was like, no, I watched it.
It's interesting. It's very different from the first one.
No, let me say this. I love the first one.
Oh, I love the first
love
one as
it
well. It's incredible.
So much.
Yeah, it's a really action, fast-paced movie.
The sequel?
What the was happening?
What was that?
What was that?
Sandra Bullock's not even in it for much.
Well, she isn't, and she's also not the same character, but isn't. It's very weird. Also, it was clearly written for Keanu Reeves, but they just tweaked the first scene. So the rest of the film still could be, like, it's still written as him.
It's bad.
Doesn't make sense.
And I don't like the new guy. Who is he? I can't remember.
Alex. It's like, Jason Patrick. He's the guy out of The Lost Boys. Wasn't Keanu Reeves.
It's just bad.
The concept as well is Willem Dafoe's a villain who used to work for the boat company, but as like a computer analysis who knew, he knows everything about the setup of the boat. He got copper poisoning from working with computers for too much. So they fired him instead of like paying for his medical bills.
Is that the plot? Because I don't remember.
Which is
it.
Why he has leeches on him because it removes the copper out of his
God,
blood. It's so bizarre. And then his whole plot is to run the boat into an oil tanker. Mm. That's the whole idea of it.
Yep.
So he takes over the computers and he can do that. There's other things happening with like him locking people in certain rooms and that they've got to get out of, and Alex saves the day, which is the character's name of Jason Patrick.
Which is bad.
The whole time, like in the first one, so Sandra Bullock's character is obviously on the bus because she lost her license.
Annie, yep.
But for speeding?
Speeding.
It's just speeding.
So genius.
And then in this one, she's like a clown. She can't drive at all.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's like, no, she didn't lose her driving because she's bad. She's it's just sped. Like, why are you making her out to be a klutz this whole time? It's like a rewritten the character.
Also, she's like madly in love with Keanu, and that's the whole point.
Yeah, and then literally the first scene of this one, which is obviously the part they only reworked because they couldn't get him back, is because he's, oh, it didn't work out, you know? Like, oh, you know, yeah. All these reasons why. And you're like, nah, like it didn't make sense with the first one's ending. It's just a bit stupid. And then I will say this, that the actual last set piece where they crash the boat into the town.
Yeah.
It is actually incredible. It is still, I think, to say one of the most expensive stunts ever created on film.
Oh.
It cost a quarter of the budget. So it was a $100 million budget film. Cost $25 million for that one shot of it going through the town. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. And like it's done really well. I'll give them that one scene. But the reason why they picked this storyline is because the director had a dream. Oh. That's it. He had a dream about a boat crashing into a town. He's like, all right, that's the idea for Speed 2.
I hate that.
So that whole scene, like that one scene, the story's written around it, which doesn't make sense, right? Oh. Like, does that hurt your brain?
Yes.
Yeah, he had a dream that it's like, yep, so you can see the one centerpiece and then he's written the story based off that. Stupid. Stupid.
It makes me so mad.
Yeah. It's just so bizarre that this was contractually obliged.
Yeah.
It was contractually obliged to the director, not to the actors. So Sandra Bullock actually said no to begin with.
She should have kept saying no. So
she said no, but she only said yes if they could fund her next film that she wanted to basically make herself.
Oh, well, good for her.
So they said yes. So she made Speed 2.
Yep.
And whereas Keanu Reeves obviously read it and said, nah, I'm financially stable off the first one. Like, yep. I don't need to do the second one. And he's like, I don't think it's a very good script. So he went and did Devil's Advocate the same year. That's honestly, why he's in Devil's Advocate. Apparently they shopped around the role of Alex, which is obviously a retweaked Jack character of Keanu Reeves, to 10 people before landing on Jason Patrick. Sandra Bullock suggested Matthew McConaughey before even Jason Patrick.
Yep.
Matthew McConaughey declined it. And then they landed on him. So that's why you've got him, who seems like a complete unknown.
Well, there you go.
I read up on a fair bit of Speed 2 yesterday.
That's the worst of 1997.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it is. It was definitely a bomb. I think they made, I think around 160, which it cost around 160. Mm. But at those times, so it didn't make much money at all. So that's the end of
That's the end of us for 97,
that's
basically.
It. We're done.
Yeah.
We're absolutely done. There's obviously more films. There's heaps of films.
Heaps.
I'd like to say we've seen most of the big ones and the ones that probably kind of go, they're memorable. Mm-hmm.
The memorable ones.
They're the big memorable ones. Good and bad, obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously, with ending on a bad one. But if there's any other films that you want to talk about, anything from 97, you go, hey, you miss this one. I love it. Maybe check it out. Let us know.
Please let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
We're always open to watching more films. And that's about it.
As always, you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at BingeLists, or you can send us an email at bingelistsandboxofficehits@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week, and have a good one.
Thanks, guys.